Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepherd, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. The show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money, which I think is more and more as I think about it and talk about it and chat with people about it, it seems to be a topic of enormous interest. We're getting some great response to the radio show, and you guys are sending in emails and calling us, all kinds of stuff, so it's very, very cool. Anyway, I'm going to read a quick disclaimer, and then we'll get into what we're doing here. The show is intended for the listeners only. All information investment-wise contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information, the views, opinions, conclusion, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommend that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So that's our little disclaimer that we have to do. So the website we have is www.creativeflips.webs.com, and you can look at our resume and accomplishments tabs. You can call us 24/7 at 310-358-7087. You can also reach us 24/7 on our email, F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at Pacbell, PACBELL.NET. And you can also reach us during business hours, California time, 8 to 5 on our cell phone, 818-585-9706. The call-in number today is 347-989-1329. If you have any questions pertaining to the subject matter of today's show, then let us know. We're going to start having some great guests. I'm booking some guests right now, people that come from all walks of life in the real estate space. You can also reach us at our Twitter feed, at Ken Shepherd. And our Skype is KenShepherd51. So let's see. Well, it's been an interesting few days. We've seen some really exciting things this week, some deals that we're working on that are starting to really take shape, and some relationships we're building are coming together very, very nicely. So let's kind of go to the subject matter of the show. This particular show is about working with people who have over-encumbered property, commercial and residential. Commercial is where we're seeing more of it than residential. But you can do it with residential if you can find it, although I think residential is really a much harder play to do, except high-end homes. Maybe high-end homes would be easier. And let's see. And so what we did, what this concept is essentially finding this property that's underwater where the people are either current or behind in their payments. More likely behind unless they're current and the bank is really in trouble. But if the bank's not in trouble and they're current, I don't know what the bank would do. But and then working with the bank to get a discount on the note and then passing a portion of that discount back to the borrower and keeping the rest of that discount as a fee for refinancing the borrower at the same time you buy the note. So it's a really creative financing concept. It works very well in the right circumstances. Like anything else, you have to have the right collateral, which means security, to do it. You have to have the lender in place for the exit. So we're going to kind of go through the steps of this. The first thing, obviously, is finding the deals. Well, let's just talk about actually the structure of a deal. And then we'll talk about how you find them, and I'll talk to you about a couple of things that I'm doing in this exact space right now. One's got a discount of about $30 million. It's a big hotel project in Hawaii, and one is got a discount of about $250,000. I'm sorry, about $200,000, maybe $250,000. Yeah, and it's a note purchase of a fourplex downstairs mixed use property with a restaurant and bar downstairs and two units upstairs in the Pennsylvania area, and we're doing a number of others, but we'll talk about just those two. So. The structure basically is this. You look for somebody who has a problem property in the sense of that they're over-encumbered on their loans. That means they owe more than their properties are worth. And if they wanted to sell it, they would actually have to pay the bank to sell the property unless they can get a short pay from the bank, which obviously could mess up your credit, or they can work out this kind of a structure, which is where we come in as a investor and buy the loan and then refinance the borrower at a much lower price. So this process can be very effective with banks that are troubled banks, community banks, I think, more than the larger institutional banks and the regional ones. The regional ones are selling off their paper, getting their loans at like 50 cents on the dollar, which is fine if you're buying a couple hundred or 300 million at a time, but it's going to be hard for a regional bank to do one or two pieces of business at a time, although if you want to go in and buy a portfolio, certainly you can do that, but you're going to be competing against all the big hedge funds. And my feeling is just go to the community banks where the hedge funds don't go and the real estate investment trusts don't go and the deals are too small for them, but it's plenty big for you and I. So the community banks can be a great place. Looking for people who have properties in default could be a great place. Looking for people with high-end real estate that just want to sell it or can't sell it and want to maybe refinance it but don't know how to do that could be another good place. But the structure basically is that you don't, but the person doesn't have to end up hopefully in a bankruptcy. Maybe they're already there, but hopefully they don't end up in a bankruptcy. And they also don't end up losing the property to the bank, which is no good because then the bank has even more property, which makes prices go down. You think, when we talk about the fact that you can make a good deal with a bank when you're buying a property, once it's a real estate owned property, and you can make a decent deal with them that way, or sometimes with a discount before the sale from the owner and things like that. The problem with that is the problem with the property going back to the bank is then the bank has to sell it, and the bank is going to look to, they will take a loss more than likely if it's over encumbered when they sell it. And they're going to be anxious to sell it. And, well, it could be great for an investor for a flip or for a purchase. It does depress the rest of the market and try and figure out what values are like for everybody that maybe owns their property free and clear and has owned it for 30 years and now finally has it, a house that was hopefully going to be their nest egg, and it's worth half of what it was when they maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So there are good sides and obviously not so good sides to every deal. Just like anything in Wall Street, there's winners and losers. In this business, there's winners and losers. But you always want to try and be on the winning side of the deal, because somebody's going to do it if you don't, so it may as well be you. So, but always make sure you check with accountants and attorneys and do everything within the law and do anything proper and make sure you handle yourself properly. And if you listen back to all the shows we've done, about 25 shows by now, you can learn a whole lot about how things go. We're always looking for deal flow from people, by the way. We just closed $26 million in deals in the recent past, and we're looking at a lot of stuff, well over $250 million right now in new business. And it's a very exciting time for us. So anyway, just getting back to the we just recently put up a soft proof of funds for up to $500 million to support people like you and deal flow. But just to go back to where we were talking about, so you find somebody who has a property that's upside down, meaning they owe more than it's worth, more than likely. Let's keep it to the simple thing. They owe more than it's worth. Let's pick an example. Let's say a building is worth, $1 million, okay? And they owe $1.5 million, okay? And they're in default, okay? Now, they don't have to be in default, but more than likely they're in default. That makes it easier to work with them at any bank. But if they're not in default, you want to work with banks that are in trouble, because then the banks can be more flexible. So if they're in default and the loan's worth $1.5 million and the property's worth $1 million, and they lose the property, the bank would be lucky to get about $700,000 to $800,000 out of the property, because by the time the bank discounts the property and deals with any repairs that may be needed and pays commissions, closing costs, holds the loan, and all that kind of stuff on their books, they've lost a good amount of that $1 million value. So so the borrower is interested in getting out of that note. So what you can do is you can say, okay, let's say they owe as I said, $1.5 million. So you go to the bank, and I'm just suggesting a number, and you make an offer to the bank to buy the note for $500,000. I would stay around half the value of the property today, okay? And the bank's, you know, you try and negotiate with the bank, but let's just say for the sake of argument, the bank agrees with your price, just to keep this conversation simple. Not that they will, not that they won't, but just to keep it simple. So the $500,000 is the price. So now you could buy that note for $500,000, or we can buy it for you. We're investors in these kind of deals. And or you find an investor yourself. So we're listening to a lot of the different ways that we tell you to find money. And you've got a note that you could buy from the bank for $500,000. More than likely, the bank's going to want to see proof of funds right away and make sure that you have the money to do the deal. But assuming you can do that, the bank says, okay, $500,000 is fine. Okay, fine. Now you have a property worth $1 million, and you have a property where you can buy the note, a $1,500,000 note for $500,000. You take that $500,000 note, and you get a memorandum from the bank that says that they'll sell it at that price. You get a signed memorandum, okay? Then with that in hand, and you go out and you find a lender that will do a loan for the borrower for, let's say, $650,000. Let's say they'll go 65% of the fair market value of the property because it's an income-producing, oh, I don't know, apartment house, okay? So $650,000, your purchase price of your note is $500,000. So you buy the note, and the lender comes in right behind you the same day, because some banks won't let you put that loan into a discount escrow. They'll make you buy that note and then refinance the borrower separately. But let's just say that's the case. If it's not the case, then you don't need to buy the note, and you can still make a fee helping the borrower by packaging it for the borrower as a consultant to the borrower. But let's say for the sake of argument, the bank says, we want to be paid off. We're not going to send a discounted loan pay off to anybody, okay? So you have to pay the bank $500,000. So you find somebody that says, okay, I'll give you $650,000 against the property. I'm going to charge you points, which means cost to close the loan. Let's say those are $50,000, just to keep the number simple. And that means the borrower is going to net $600,000 out of the transaction. If the borrower nets $600,000 and you only have to buy the note for $500,000, how much profit is there in the stretch, in the spread? There's $100,000, right? Okay. Now, let's look at who gets benefit out of this. The bank gets the note off their books. They're happy. Okay. They took $1 million loss, but they get it off their books, and probably they've got some loss share agreement with the government to get part of it back or whatever they do. But you get the note for $500,000. So we won't talk about the bank side of this right now. We'll just talk about the benefits. So the bank gets $500,000 cash. You're able to purchase the loan on behalf of the borrower and save $1 million for the borrower. The borrower then refinances the property and pays $50,000 in cost to do that, and there's $100,000 profit. Okay, so the borrower has saved $1 million minus $50,000 for the refinance, which is $950,000. Minus the fee that you would charge to do the deal, which let's say is $50,000, and the borrower made another $50,000. So the borrower spent $100,000, but the borrower saved $1 million. So the borrower's net savings is $900,000. Okay, so the borrower's happy, you're happy, the bank's happy. A win-win-win for everybody. Now, why would borrowers do this? Well, borrowers would do it because it gets them out of the problem they have with their current bank, and it allows them to get a savings and then turn around and get another loan to be able to save themselves that $900,000 we just talked about. Now, sometimes the lender will be the same one that buys the note, and then they carry the note for a while on their books as the lender. But a lot of times the lender isn't the same. In our case, we don't want to be the lender in those situations because we don't loan it. Well, we could possibly be, but more likely than not, we wouldn't want to be. We have been known to consider it. But the theory is that we want to be in and out, and we don't want to be carrying that note with that property, with that borrower, because they've already been in default. And the market may change, and we think the market's going to go way down by another maybe 20%. So it means that property that's worth $1 million is probably worth $800,000 later, and we don't want to be $650 into a property worth $8. So there are lenders that'll do it, but we feel it's too risky. So we would rather just go in and out and make that $50,000 profit from putting the deal together. So the idea here is to create a win-win, keep the property out of bankruptcy, keep the investor happy, keep the borrower happy. Sometimes the borrowers can't qualify for these kind of loans unless they're what's called hard money loans, and we've talked about that on some other shows. And we're going to get deeper into that, because when we were looking at all the different things that you guys are listening to on the archives, some of the most interesting ones for you seem to be notes and property after the auction and creative financing and how I got started, which is really an interesting mix of things that you guys are really interested in. So so that's basically the theory. Okay, you can do this anywhere in the United States. You can do it with any kind of property, from single family homes to land to shopping centers to office buildings to towers to self storage. It doesn't matter. It works on any kind of real estate. It actually works on businesses too. It's just the idea of buying a note at a discount and then having the person who you're buying the note on behalf of get a refinance, and you get them that big savings, and they make a nice savings in their business. They now don't have that big payment they used to have, and it's very good for everybody. So that's the theory of the structure, okay? Let me talk about some practical transactions. We're two of them that we're working on right now. I'll talk about a larger one, and then I'll talk about a smaller one. So a group came to us out of Hawaii, and they had made a deal or an arrangement with a guy who had invested about $30 million in a hotel project that was going nowhere because he didn't know how to work with people in Hawaii, and he got, and you know, to the point where the government wouldn't help him, and he needed a lot of things done, and they wouldn't help him. And he also had a bank loan from an insurance company for about $25 million. So he was into the property between the loan from the bank and from his cash, about $55 million. The insurance company wants out of the deal. He wants to restructure the deal. The insurance company is putting pressure on him to figure this out. This has been going on for quite a while, and so we got asked to look at the deal. We were told right up front that the borrower wanted to stay in the transaction, which is why it's similar to what we were just talking about. When the borrower stays in the transaction, that's what this structure is, or this methodology is. He wants to stay in, and he doesn't want to be responsible for the new loan, but he wants to have a profit participation, and he wants to get some money up front. So what we've been told is that the bank, the lender who's holding the loan for $25 million will take about $22 million, and we think we can get them down even lower than that, maybe $20 million or $18 million for cash, because nobody's shown evidence of funds, but we can. And the guy who put $30-odd million into the project is willing to take about $2 or $3 million up front, maybe $5 million. We think very little, and maybe nothing, maybe just a note, but more likely some cash. And then he's willing to let the rest of it go away and be wiped off like it never existed. And he would just get a profit participation as we build out the project, hopefully recovering his money that way. So that's about a savings to us going into the deal of about $30 million. And we feel pretty good about the deal. We like the deal. We like the company. We like the people that brought it to us. And we think it's a really, really nice project. And we're going to have them send us a package, including a memorandum they have with the insurance company who's holding the loan, and a separate memorandum from the guy who owns the property right now, who's spent about $30 million on it. And then we're going to take the whole package, and we're going to bring it to one of the largest law firms in the world that represent some of the biggest construction companies and developers in the world, and we're going to try and put this package together, and we will be a participant in the profits. We will be a owner, and we will get probably at the end of the day some property, because it's going to be partially a hotel, partially timeshare, and partially condos. So probably part of the deal we'll negotiate is for some condos as part of the deal given to us, and some of the and I'm sure some concessions on staying at the hotel, and obviously ownership position. So it's going to be a very good deal for us if we can put it together, and that is a opportunity that is, as we said, things come to us that are not listed. This is not listed. We're getting it directly through the owner's associate who came to us and asked us to help, but they can't figure it out. And as we've said many, many times, this whole business is about solving problems. So they're coming to me as what they called the expert in the area, which I thought was very nice of them, and trying to have us try to help them figure out how to make this thing all fit together. I think if we can put this together, it will be a landmark property in Hawaii, and we'll make a big amount of large impact on their economics and create a lot of jobs. The other thing we're talking about is the government's willing to give a lot of concessions over there, tax-free, like no property taxes for 5 years or 10 years or something, and then a lot of other concessions. The reason being is that, of course, they get jobs out of it for their local economy, and it brings more people in because there's yet another property that's a hotel that's operating on their island. And so everybody will win in that deal. We think it could be a beautiful landmark property again. Right now it's, of course, in disrepair and needs a lot of attention. So we're excited about that. We think that's a really good project. We love Hawaii. I actually want to live there part-time, and this happens to be one way to maybe do that. If you have a free condo that you own, that you can go to any time, anywhere, or have people stay there, it'd say, listen, if you're going to this particular island, then you can stay in my condo, and that could be a nice perk for people that you can have help, that are going over there, and you want to do something nice for them, then that's something you can do, or we can offer it as a contest, and for a week or something, whatever. The point was, hopefully at the end of the day, this project will be a stellar project for our portfolio. Okay. And that's a pretty big project, obviously, and a lot of people go, oh my God, that's so huge. I don't know if I could ever do something like that. How would I ever raise 50 or 100 or 200 million? I understand that. Obviously, that's something that you don't want to try as your first deal when you're just starting out, okay? But it shows that they happen at large in large transactions, and it shows they happen all over the place, okay? And so that's one transaction. Another one we're working on is a much smaller one. It's in Pennsylvania. The property's worth about $400,000. The bank has already told us they'll take $150,000 for the note. The borrower, we can get him refinanced for about $225,000, and the property's worth about $400,000, so he owes about $400,000 now. We can get it down to $150,000. That saves him $250,000 on his loan. And then he's going to pay back, of course, points in our fee, which is going to be another $100,000. So he'll save about $150,000 in the deal, maybe $100,000. But here's the thing that's interesting. We have the bank in that deal ready to go. We have we are ready to go. Everybody's ready to go. The loan to take us out, because the bank wants us to buy the note. They don't want to send the discounted loan to an escrow or closing agent. So we have to buy the loan, which we said we would do for cash. The bank knows we have the money. They certainly check that out for their comfort. And the key in the whole deal is the borrower is stuck. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to do the deal, but he's scared. And I understand that he's scared. And he's scared because he doesn't want to have more problems than he has now. But then, so lots of times in deals, different people can be stumbling blocks. And in this case, the stumbling block is the borrower who originally came to us in the first place through an associate of ours, a colleague. This is, again, not listed. It's not an auction. It's the bank's just holding on. They're just trying to figure out what to do. It's a community bank, like we just talked about. And they're in trouble, and so they need to sell the note, and they're willing to sell the $250,000 discount. And I kept thinking, why would they be willing to do that? And the more I get to know this borrower, the more I understand it, because he's got his head in the sand. And I told him on the phone today on his voicemail, I said, look, if you don't do something, the bank's going to do something, and then you're going to be in worse shape than you are now. So it's really a good idea for you to think about doing something. I gave him five exit lenders to talk to that would take over or consider doing a refinance for him on the property. One that's local and four that are not. And that'll do, the four that are not will do stuff all over the place, including in Pennsylvania. But they're all check writers. Or they're all next to check writers. And so that's a pretty interesting situation because we've been trying for 2 months, maybe longer, to get the borrower to do something. And I can't seem to get the borrower on page, which is really sad. So we're working with the borrower. We just wrote to the bank. And I'm going to reach out to the bank today, actually, and ask them if they can give us some other notes because obviously we can't do this one right away. I know they've got some others that they want us to take a look at, and I'm going to try and encourage them to send us those. And with sometimes when you're buying the notes, like I said, you're dealing directly with the bank, and then, of course, you're buying the bank's position, and you're not going to talk to the borrower unless the bank lets you. It depends how you got to the deal. If you got to it through the borrower, you certainly can't buy the note without the borrower's permission. Well, you could, but you wouldn't want to because then you're not really being fair to the borrower. And I would never do that. I know people that would, but I wouldn't. I know some people that would, but I hopefully too many of those don't cross our path because I don't really feel that's too cool to do. And I think it's problematic for the borrower. I know it's problematic for the borrower. So anyway, so the whole idea is the borrower is being stubborn and scared. And you're going to run into that. If you're dealing with borrowers in this kind of a structure, you are going to run into borrowers that are they don't understand what you're doing. They're confused. This is unusual. It's a new way of doing things. They've never heard of such a thing in many cases. And so you have to educate them. And if you're working in single family, you have a lot more educating to do than if you're working in commercial property. Because in single family, they don't deal with necessarily financing their property every day. In commercial property, they obviously know about making money in real estate, and they've owned property that they're running, and so they're familiar with what's going on, much more so than probably a single-family person. If you put one against the other, I would say the percentage of people in single-family is much lower than the percentage of people in commercial that would know what to do with this kind of situation or know how to respond to it. So we're very... We don't know what to do with this guy. I mean, we're trying to be as nice as we can. We've talked to everybody that we can think of that can help him come up with ideas. But we do have some ideas of how to help him. But first I told him he's got to help himself. Like he says, well, I don't know where all the documents are that I need for the lender that would take you out of your note purchase. I said, well, if you don't know where the documents are, take the time and find them. I mean, there's a three-day holiday weekend coming up. Maybe it's a good time for you to go look for your documents. And he's concerned, well, I might have to pay some fees before closing. Well, maybe some of those fees don't have to be paid before closing. Maybe they can be paid out of the note, out of the new loan. So you don't have to write a check. I mean, in other words, there's all kinds of creative ways to solve problems, but people have to want to be involved in solving the problem. And I think he's scared. And so I think it's kind of a waiting game with him. I think what we'll do is just kind of sit back and watch what he does and see what he does and maybe visit with him in a little while. So, but that's going to take some care and some time. So hopefully this has been helpful to you guys as another tool. Once again, no money down, using your brain, not your money. You make money in real estate. Our phone number is 310-358-7087 24/7. Our cell number is 818-585-9706, California time. You can also reach us by email, fci@petbill.net. We'll be on air next Tuesday again with another wonderful, hopeful, another subject, hopefully, that's well-received and that would help you learn, and we're going to start bringing in some guests. As I said, and we're going to get deeper into some of the subjects that you guys seem to be more interested in, like the REOs and after the sale and stuff like notes and loans and things like that. So we hope you have a nice Labor Day weekend. I have about 25 seconds left. It's been a joy being with everybody today. We appreciate everybody listening. Tell all your friends and everybody you know in the world to listen to the show and go into the archives and learn and listen. take all the information and go out and become more financially independent for you and your family. God bless America. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.